You are listening to RotoViz Radio, a fantasy football podcast, with your host, Matthew Friedman.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle of the Action Network and RotoViz. Welcome to a special edition of RotoViz Radio. Today we are talking about the Oakland Raiders. In between the NFL Combine and the Draft, I am interviewing beat reporters for every franchise, 30 beat writers, and 32 episodes. We are covering team needs, free agency, draft rumors, basically everything between now and day one of the draft. For this episode, I am joined by Matt Schneidman of the Mercury News and Bay Area News Group, where in this episode he talks with us about the team's many needs on the defensive side of the ball, what the Raiders might do in the first few rounds of the draft, and the expectations for Derek Carr in 2018. Before we get to the guest, I'd like to remind you that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the premium NFL content on the site, and it supports the pod. All right, let's get to the guest. Please welcome to the show, Matt Schneidman of the Mercury News and Bay Area News Group. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Schneidman, where he provides up-to-the-minute news on anything and everything to do with the Oakland Raiders. Matt, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. Let's jump into it. You recently highlighted five questions regarding the Oakland Raiders as they head into the combine and then free agency after that. Do you mind summarizing Oakland's biggest needs?
Yeah, well, I think from a personnel standpoint, they have a need pretty much everywhere on the defensive side of the ball. You look at the cornerback position, it was probably their worst group last year. They have Gerrion Conley, their 2017 first-round pick, who only played two games last year because of a shin injury, spent most of the year on IR. He'll be back healthy, so they're probably counting on him to be one of the starters. And then they've got to find another starting cornerback. Sean Smith, I don't think, is going to be the guy. Played well toward the end of last season, but he's going to cost too much to keep on the roster, over $8 million for the skill he brings. So I think they're going to find a corner in the draft or free agency to start there opposite Conley. Linebacking court certainly looks like a linebacker is a possibility at number 10 there in the draft, either to be Navarro Bowman's understudy for a year or replace Corey James in the starting lineup, because I do think Bruce Irvin comes back. And then, of course, they need a pass rusher. Ideally a defensive end to play opposite Khalil Mack, because the Raiders were near the league low in sack totals last year, also near the league low in quarterback pressures. New defensive coordinator Paul Gunther said, you know, it's not all about sacks. It's not all about the sack numbers. If you're getting to the quarterback, that's what matters. The Raiders weren't. So they need guys who can rush the quarterback, guys who can play in that second level of defense, and guys who can intercept passes, because as we know, they did not do well in that category last year. So pretty much every category on defense is what the Raiders should be concerned about heading into free agency, which starts today.
Well, and you mentioned all of these needs heading into free agency. One issue is that at least it doesn't seem right now that the Raiders have a lot of cap room. How do you expect them to negotiate that during free agency?
Yeah, I think if possible, we see a couple of veterans. I mentioned Sean Smith. Possibly Bruce Irvin. We'll see about Michael Crabtree. Veterans who don't have, if they're released, they don't have any dead money against the cap on their deal if they're released. So we could see that happen. You know, I would expect to see that with Sean Smith if I had to take a guess. Because like I said, he's owed over $8 million with no dead money against the cap if he's released. Or maybe a guy like Bruce Irvin takes less money for a deal. So I think that's where they go with that, is maybe renegotiating or releasing some of those veterans who aren't crucial and also whose contracts are set up in a way that if they're released wouldn't hurt the Raiders too much.
You mentioned there Michael Crabtree. Another aging veteran is Marshawn Lynch. Those two guys were crucial last year to what the Raiders wanted to do. What do you think their situation is going to be in 2018? Will they be with the Raiders?
I think both will be. We've heard reports both ways for both guys. Talking to John Gruden at the combine when I was in Indianapolis, he certainly seems like he wants both guys on the team. He listed off about, I think it was five guys. He said, this is why I'm coming to coach the Raiders, because I'm really looking forward to coaching these guys. It was Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, Michael Crabtree, Marshawn Lynch, Amari Cooper. So I really think John Gruden wants Michael Crabtree and Marshawn Lynch on the team, that's also a different statement than they will be on the team, because the price has to be right. The skill has to be there. It has to match the productivity level. And could the Raiders do better than Michael Crabtree? Yes. Could they do better than Marshawn Lynch? Yes. But you have to remember, Michael Crabtree is a pretty good red zone receiver, and also Marshawn Lynch was one of the best running backs in the league in the second half of the season. So I think both are back. We'll see if it's at a different price than what they have right now, but I do think both play for the Raiders next year.
With Marshawn Lynch, it seems as if so much has to do with desire. Does he want to be with the team? How committed is he to being in shape and playing? What are your thoughts about maybe his mindset entering this season?
Yeah, I think he's fully committed to being part of the team. You know, there have been reports out there that meetings between him and Gruden have gone well. I don't think his attitude or his willingness to adopt another coach's style is a problem. I think that's being blown out of proportion a little bit, and how his personality may mesh with Gruden. I think they'll work great together. Is he a feature back? You know, I don't know. Do they want a guy who catches more out of the backfield? I don't know. But from a off-the-field standpoint, a personality standpoint, you know, this is Marshawn Lynch's home in Oakland. Does he retire after this year? You know, I don't know. But I think if he were to finish his career anywhere, I think he would want to do it home in Oakland.
Can you talk a little bit about the running backs on the depth chart underneath Marshawn Lynch? You have DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, both of them, I guess, going into their third seasons, have had, you know, some bouts of inconsistency, but some of those guys have also been productive at times. If Marshawn Lynch didn't return, how do you think that backfield split would break down? Do you think they would bring in someone else? What are your thoughts there?
I think they would bring in someone else. Those guys, while nice and explosive, they just don't get it done enough. I mean, you look at their lines last year. DeAndre Washington had 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. Nice near the goal line. Jalen Richard had some real issues. I know on punt return, obviously not running the ball, but he only had 2 total touchdowns. You need a guy who can and especially, I should say this, Lynch isn't going to play a full 4 quarters, or, you know, we saw him take full quarter breaks this year just because he's fatigued. He's getting up there in age. So the Raiders need a guy who's almost like a primary running back to fill in when Lynch steps out because of how much he's going to be out, assuming it's the same level as he was last year. And Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington just aren't those guys. They're nice in spurts here and there. They're explosive. They're better than Lynch at catching the ball out of the backfield. But, even for backup running backs, especially for when Lynch is your starter, I don't think they're good enough. So I think the Raiders do look elsewhere.
So the reason why I ask about the backup running backs is that at the combine, John Gruden had mentioned the desire to kind of turn back the offense or turn back the team to, I think 1998 was the year that he mentioned it. That would suggest maybe more of a run-focused approach. What are your thoughts on Gruden's perspective in terms of the offense and what he had to say?
Well, Gruden's comments on turning back to 1998 weren't about anything really on the field. It was more analytics-based, and someone asked him about analytics and data, and that's what he was referencing with the 1998, not anything to do with the run game. But I think in terms of bringing the game back to 1998, he still has some old school in him. So I think that's really just that what that is, and all the numbers and data available. He's not totally against it, but he'll be selective in choosing which analytics and advanced statistics, I guess, he'll use at his disposal. As for the run game, that was a different answer to a question about the importance of fullbacks on the team, and he really believes in the importance of a fullback and a blocking tight end in helping the run game and helping Marshawn Lynch. So those are 2 separate thoughts, but both notable things what Gruden said over in Indy.
Well, you mentioned there the importance of the tight end position. What do you think this team is looking to do with the tight end position? So Jared Cook is there, but he is older, and he's not so much of a blocking presence. Any thoughts on potential tight end candidates?
I think they're fine with the ones they have. I mean, Jared Cook's a good receiver. He's almost like a downfield receiver. He lined up on the outside in the slot for the Raiders this year, made some really big plays. Obviously, didn't have as
good of performances toward the end of the season, but he had some incredible plays, whether that be in the Chiefs game or, you know, his touchdown against Washington, the Raiders only score in that game. And I think they like Lee Smith, too. Lee Smith is hitting on restricted free agency, but he's that blocking tight end that Gruden wants. So I think the Raiders are all set at tight end. They have a good combo there with Cook as the receiver and Smith more as a blocker, although he can catch, but I think Smith is that perfect blocking tight end Gruden was talking about.
So you mentioned earlier the potential need for linebackers and that the team might go for a linebacker in the first round. Are there any guys in particular, any rookies in particular that you've had your eye on and you look at them and you think, well, this guy would fit really well what it is that the Raiders want to do?
Well, the two guys everyone's talking about are Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, and Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. I think Roquan Smith is probably the guy more likely there at 10. I think Edmonds is ranked a little bit higher. I think he's a little bit better. But if they do draft Smith, like most mocks are suggesting, I guess, for whatever that's worth, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Navarro Bowman, who's also entering unrestricted free agency. Do they have Smith study under Bowman at middle linebacker for a year before letting him take over the reins? Do they put Smith into the starting lineup immediately in place of a Corey James, maybe? Then what do they do with Bruce Irvin if they keep Bruce Irvin? So it'll be interesting to see if they actually do go linebacker there. You know, we saw Smith play really, really well in the postseason for Georgia in the national championship game. He is a sideline-to-sideline heat-seeking missile. So I think I like Smith a little bit more, but we'll see what the Raiders do.
So as you mentioned earlier, there are other positions of need on the defensive side of the ball, pass rusher, cornerback. As we're recording this, Sean Smith was released. If the Raiders do not go with a linebacker in the first round, are there other defensive players you think would work well with their system?
Yeah, well, I think cornerback is obviously a big need. So Denzel Ward, one of Garyon Conley's good friends from Ohio State, could be an option. Josh Jackson, the cornerback from Iowa, could be an option. You know, Vita Vea is a defensive tackle from Washington, a mammoth of a human, would be really good in stopping the run. But the Raiders just re-signed Justin Ellis, and we'll see what they do with Danico Autry and obviously Eddie Vanderdoes, the starter, coming off ACL surgery. So we'll see if the Raiders want to go defensive line. I don't think they'll go Vita Vea in the first round. That would be the one guy I would think they would take if they were looking for that position. But I think it's more likely they go linebacker or cornerback. And then I wouldn't even be surprised if they went offensive tackle, because John Gruden singled out Marshall Newhouse a couple times at the combine for his lackluster play last season. The right side of the offensive line is clearly the weak point. So it's even possible the Raiders go tackle at number 10. So I wouldn't even restrict it to defense necessarily.
Interesting. So if, I mean, 10, it's a premium pick. Some people are kind of torn on the offensive tackle talent in the class. Is there a particular player at 10 that you think would fit well with the team?
Mike McGlinchey is a guy, the tackle from Notre Dame. It's possible he's gone by that point, but it's also possible the Raiders don't want to reach for him because they have more pressing needs. Look, I don't think they'll take a tackle at number 10, because I think they have more pressing needs, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took one in Orlando Brown, who was Oklahoma's left tackle. Maybe he slides down to the second round because of his performance at the combine. He was a projected first-round pick, but if he slides down, the Raiders could grab him in the second round there. So I don't think they take a tackle in the first round. Would I be shocked? No, but I think they have some more pressing needs than the offensive line, and I think that's why they'll go either linebacker or cornerback there at number 10.
Thinking about the wide receiver group a little bit more, if Crabtree stays, that's one thing. But if Crabtree perhaps leaves, do you think that, one, how would Seth Roberts kind of function within the offense? And do you think that they would be looking to bring someone else in as the third receiver?
I wouldn't be surprised if they push for another guy. I mean, I don't think Michael Crabtree is all that great. He's a good red zone threat, but Amari Cooper is going to be the focal point of this offense. John Gruden said that. Seth Roberts, you know, he's nice as a third receiver, but the Raiders are going to want more. He had his fair share of drops, a couple blunders. You remember when they played the Patriots, he was kind of on the 3-yard line and stuck the ball out and fumbled it. That really changed the game there. So Seth Roberts, I think the Raiders could upgrade. He's not going anywhere, but as you said with Michael Crabtree, there have been reports, you know, the Raiders have him in their plans, but then again, those plans could change if Michael Crabtree wants to get paid more than what the Raiders are willing to give. And if they don't bring him back, I certainly could see the Raiders making a move in free agency for, you know, a Paul Richardson, per se, from the Seahawks, who might not come at as much of a price as, you know, an Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins, a couple other guys who are on the market. So I think the Raiders would more likely go for a receiver in free agency than the draft if they need one, if they want to go after one, but you never know.
Think about John Gruden. He's been away, not entirely away from the game, but away from coaching for over a decade. What are some of your thoughts for how he will function as a decision maker within the organization and then as someone who will guide the direction of the offense?
Well, John Gruden said this at the combine, you know, people are making too much of him being away from coaching, at least being off the field for the past 9 years or whatever it is. You know, he hasn't forgotten the terminology. He hasn't forgotten what a screen looks like, I think is the exact word or the exact term he used. But, you know, I think he'll work well with Derek Carr. A lot of people have made a big deal out of can Derek Carr and John Gruden mesh in this offense and their personalities. I think they'll be totally fine. I think, you know, we don't know exactly if his scheme has changed or what he wants to do with this offense. It would be silly of anyone to divulge those details, but I think he'll be really good for the Raiders offense. Kind of he's met all the coaches. He's done the QB camp. So it's not like he's been in the dark. He's been heavily involved in the game, and he still has that ability to run an offense.
All right, Matt, this has been a lot of fun. One final question here, specifically about Derek Carr. What do you think the expectations are for him entering the season, and what kind of version of him do you think that we are going to see?
I think a much improved one, and even if it was still Jack Del Rio's coach, I think we'd see a much improved one because, you know, nobody admitted it last year, but John Gruden has touched on it multiple times, and Derek has as well. You know, his back injury that he suffered against Denver in week 4, he suffered 3 fractures in his back, and it takes 2 to 6 weeks to heal one. And he returned after 1 game with 3. So I really think that limited him in whatever way later on in the season. I think his receiver's drops obviously hurt him. So this team is built around Derek Carr. Every team is built around its quarterback. And I think with the combination of John Gruden calling the plays, not that Todd Downing was awful, but John Gruden is an upgrade from Todd Downing. With John Gruden calling the plays, with a healthy Derek Carr, and with a renewed sense of, you know, energy around this team, however cliche that is, I really think he's due to return to his Pro Bowl status of 2 years ago, and I would expect that.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and we hope to get another opportunity to speak with you as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having me.
We just finished speaking with Matt Schneidman, a Raiders beat writer for the Mercury News and Bay Area News Group. We covered a lot. Here are some of the thoughts that I have on what we talked about. To start with, he highlighted the many needs on the defensive side of the ball. So he recently wrote an article highlighting what the Raiders needed to do. And really, it was just a list of basically every defensive position. You know, they need some help on the interior of the defensive line. They need some pass rushers. They need some help with the linebacking group. They need some cornerback help, and they need help at safeties. Ian Harditz, one of the guys at Fantasy Labs, he's doing a team needs piece for all 32 teams. The piece he did for the Raiders, he looks at the top needs, defensive line, and secondary. That's basically everything. There is so much that is wrong with the Raiders defensively, which is especially horrible given that for the last few years, their head coach has been a defensive-minded head coach. But there's so much that's wrong with them and their cap position. It's not horrible, but it's not advantageous to acquiring through free agency a lot of talent. that there's really no way to fix this except going through the draft and gradually cutting away veterans who are overvalued and trying to replace them with a lot of young talent. Just to put some context on top of this, last year the Raiders were dead last in the league in terms of defensively allowing opponents to score. Opponents scored on 40.9% of their drives. Again, worst in the league. That's bad enough. But on top of that, they were second to last in turnover percentage. So not only were they allowing teams to score basically at will, they weren't getting any turnovers. And those two things are a little bit correlated, but not really. Conceivably, there are teams that could be kind of on the defensive side of the ball, very boom or bust, in that either they make big plays and they create turnovers and they get some great stops, or they just allow teams to score on them really easily. For the Raiders, there was not that at all. They were getting scored on, and they were not making big plays. If you look at average, what was happening in terms of everything on a per drive basis, opponents were holding the ball the third most time in the league. So that's really bad. And they allowed the fourth most points in the league. So much has to be done on the offensive side of the ball. You really kind of wonder what they are going to be doing. Gruden is not a defensive-minded coach. He's more of an offensive-minded coach. And so for a team that has so many needs defensively, you really kind of wonder where they're going to start. They're definitely going to have to address positions in the draft. In the latest mock draft I have at Fantasy Labs, I have them going with a defensive back, a cornerback in the first round. But they could easily go with a linebacker. If one of the elite pass rushers makes it that far, they could go with a player like that to pair with Khalil Mack, whom they will have to pay at some point. Like that big payday is coming. So that is something to keep in mind. But really, there are so many holes that a lot of the draft capital for the Raiders in the first few rounds will probably have to go to the defensive side of the ball. It wouldn't be a bad idea, I think, for them at 10. There will be, I think there probably will be a pretty good player who drops to them at 10. It's just a question of whether it aligns with what they are looking for. I don't think it would be a bad idea for them to trade out of the position if they could and acquire a little more draft capital, because they're going to need multiple shots at the defensive side of the ball within the first few rounds. And so if they can maybe trade down a little bit, pick up a second or a third rounder, that could be something that works out well for them. Marshawn Lynch and Michael Crabtree, I will be very interested to see what happens with them. I don't think it's a great idea to keep both of them, in that they are salaried veterans who cost a decent amount of money. Conceivably, they are clubhouse leaders, but they don't really bring all that much at this point. Even if both of those players play as well as we could expect them to play within their, you know, reasonable range of outcomes, that probably still won't help the Raiders make the playoffs. I think it would probably be best to divest from the investments in those players and draft other guys. And part of that is because Marshawn Lynch is old anyway. He's going to be gone, I think, within a year. Might as well be this year and see if you can bring in, it's a good class for running backs, see if you can bring in a guy in the third round and the fourth round who can pair with the two running backs that they already have there. And then with Crabtree, part of me wonders if Crabtree has hindered, and I hate to say this, but if he has hindered the development a little bit of Amari Cooper. But I think getting rid of Crabtree would really make clear that it is Amari Cooper's team and they really do need to feed Amari Cooper. I know last year he was a massive disappointment, and that could result in a lot of value in terms of just redraft leagues this year. In the dynasty market, people also might be willing to part with him cheaper than his net value probably is worth. So he's someone I think in terms of just fantasy to keep an eye on. But in terms of just raw football, last year, obviously, it was a bad year for Amari Cooper. But he has started his career better than so many other wide receivers have. Given the injuries that he had last year and just also the quarterbacking situation, Derek Carr really was not playing well. I think you can overlook a lot of what happened with Amari Cooper last year. Very few guys start their careers with two, you know, back-to-back 1,000-yard campaigns, especially when they are that young. So if you take into account his age, his draft position, his athleticism, and the production within his first two seasons, and even if you add in the production from his third year, if you take all of that as a whole, you could still project someone who has a very good chance of being a top five wide receiver in the future. So offensively, if the Raiders can build a system around Amari Cooper, he's still just 23. I mean, he's not even 24 yet. If they can build a system around him, that could be something that is very good for, you know, half a decade. Maybe more. You know, the guys who enter the league at a young age and who have very good physical traits, they tend to age pretty well. So it is conceivable that Cooper could be a guy, you know, who stays at not an elite level for a decade, but who could be still a strong producer for the team, you know, 8 to 10 years from now. So the sooner they can really build the team around him, the better. It's interesting that on the one hand, Gruden has said that he wants to feed Cooper the ball. And on the other hand, and so let me back up a second. Feeding Cooper the ball is it's the more kind of like analytically based, like numbers informed decision, because he is the best player on the team. And throwing the ball is better than running the ball in general, just in terms of the type of production you can expect to get. That is what, you know, kind of quote unquote analytics would suggest. So on the one hand, Gruden says he wants to give Amari Cooper the ball and make the offense built around him. That's a very sort of analytically informed thing to do, even if Gruden's not doing it for analytical reasons. On the other hand, Gruden said that he's not a big fan of analytics, which is really interesting. As someone who has been out of the league for years, it seems that Gruden would be at a disadvantage, except that he has had the ability, as, you know, the Monday Night Football guy, to travel around the league, to interview people, to see how all of the organizations think, how they go about building rosters, constructing game plans. I think for someone who's been out of the game, he's been in probably the best position that anyone could be in. And so for him to have a kind of quote unquote, like anti-analytics perspective, it's intriguing. And so I kind of don't know exactly where he will settle in terms of who he wants to highlight within the offense, the types of decisions that they make, whether they go pass heavy or run heavy. But I think for the Raiders to have the most success that they possibly can have, they will have to be very focused on Amari Cooper. Derek Carr is an interesting, he's in an interesting position. He's entering the fifth year of his contract. Actually, let me rephrase that, not of his contract, but his fifth year in the league. If he doesn't do well, he will be a guy who's at that point, you know, like been in the league for half a decade, and Gruden would have just had a negative experience with him in his first year back with the team. Although Carr is a promising guy, he's never thrown for even 4,000 yards in a season. And it's not as if there's anything magical about 4,000 yards, but that's like a pretty established benchmark. It's hard to think of a guy as being a franchise quarterback when he's never hit 4,000 yards in a season. And ultimately, I don't think it's right, but quarterbacks tend to be judged on whether they lead teams that win or lose. And so Derek Carr doesn't really have going for him the fact that he's on the Raiders, because it seems as if there's a decent chance they're going to lose more games than they win this year. So if he's on a team that's losing games and he's not performing, what does he really have going for him that's going to entice John Gruden? Probably very little. At that point, he's going to be, I mean, he's almost 27. I'm recording this in mid-March. At the end of March, he turns 27. So he will be a guy at that point going into his age 28 season. So I guess I'm saying, big picture, there is kind of from a fantasy perspective, especially a dynasty perspective, I don't think there's much upside with Derek Carr, and there is a decent amount of downside with him. He could be entering a portion of his career that turns into like the beginning of the end. So something to keep an eye on with him. I think if you could get rid of him, trading him somehow, throwing him in kind of a package deal, that's probably a decent way to go, because I don't know if there's a lot of upside with him. Eventually, I could see Gruden bringing in his own guy. Maybe not this draft, but eventually. So that's going to do it for this Raiders-focused special edition of RotoViz Radio. Be sure to check out the episodes for all the other teams on RotoViz and the podcast feed. I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. The Oracle. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this special edition of RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Special thanks to Hassan Rahim, the producer for this episode, and to Colm Kelly, the assistant executive producer for the podcast channel. Please review the show on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.